Well, let me say it is good to be back in Charlottetown. I was here around this time 3 years ago, which seems like a lifetime ago because something happened in between. All right, and I don't even know. Should I mention the word? It's a terrible word, right? Don't say it. Okay, I won't say it. I won't say it. I was here, and I do recognize a few faces. If you remember, I was also here with John Plants, our worker out of Winnipeg. Him and I did a tour through Atlantic Canada. This was one of our early stops, and it was one of our favorite stops. So we've been wanting to come back and get back, and so now I've brought my wife with me instead of John. A far better trip. A far better trip. We arrived on the island yesterday. Many of you know Tim Christensen over there in Upton, and so we're staying with him, and we were at the chapel there this morning, and then we had a big potluck at Tim's place, and then just before we came over here, we got a little tour of the camp, and so I feel like I'm part of the family, and it's wonderful. So it is good to be here. It's good, as I say, good to be back in Charlottetown. And as already mentioned, I'm with Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, and I know for many of you that is that's a ministry that is dear to your heart, and I thank you for that. Many of you will remember John and Dorothy McKim. How many remember John and Dorothy McKim? Yeah, of course, everybody puts up their hand. John and Dorothy McKim, and again, they retired about 3 years ago. And he's doing well, by the way. I don't know last anybody talked to him or to Dorothy, but he is doing well. I'll be seeing him in about a week and looking forward to that. And then we replaced him with Mike and Debbie Cannell. I don't know if Mike and Debbie were ever here at the chapel. Yes, no, I don't. Okay, good. I know they were in Charlottetown, but I think they were at a different church than here. Mike has been with us for a couple of years, due to health reasons, he promptly retired just a few months ago as well. So we are without an Atlantic Canada church rep or field rep. And so as I go through the presentation this evening, perhaps, the Lord just might stir in you. And that would be wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Young or old. Younger the better, so that they don't retire from us so quickly, right? So and it's great to see the young people here. I do remember that last time I was here, the number of young people and the number of youth. It's just wonderful. So as I say, we're on a trip, and we're enjoying our time together. I wish we could stay longer and enjoy being a tourist as well, but we're off to Cape Breton tomorrow and carrying on through the journey. So tonight, what I want to be able to share is a little bit about who Friends of Israel is. We will open the Word a little bit tonight, just an opportunity for you to, again, for many of you, it'd be old news, but for some of you, it'll be fresh. And just to give you an update, as well, of what we're doing around the world and what we're doing in Canada. Just have a good evening together. We'll be out of here by about 11 p.m., I think. I was expecting a bigger laugh. That means without the laugh, that means I'm good to go till about 11? No, I'm kidding. And hopefully, technically, it works. And we've tried two or three different things, so that part's working. But is it okay? So the only thing we'll have. So that's working. Is the clicker working? Let's find out. Oh, the clicker's working. This is great. So the only thing we don't know is when I've got a couple of videos embedded into my presentation, and whether the audio comes through. And if it does, great. If not, we'll have to pause and figure that out. Either that or I'll have to do, there's a song involved, so I'll have to sing it, and you don't want me to sing that song, but so that's great. So as you see, And I do have, it's not working on here, the slide ahead, so that's okay. But our mission statement, the Friends of Israel is a worldwide, I'll have to turn around. I should have this memorized. Evangelical ministry proclaiming biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah while bringing physical and spiritual comfort to the Jewish people. Again, you will discover, especially as we go through the videos, that we've been around since 1938. And you could see from that mission statement, there's actually two main focuses that we do, and we've been doing it since 1938. One is providing biblical teaching and biblical truths about Israel and the Messiah. And the other is bringing spiritual and physical comfort to the Jewish people around the world. Thus, it's in our name, the Friends of Israel. That's the spiritual and physical comfort that we bring to the Jewish people in a wide variety of ways, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. Gospel ministry, the spiritual truths, the biblical truths about Israel and the Messiah. And so in our name brings those two together, the Friends of Israel gospel ministry. And we have found over the years that especially over the last decade or so, the real need for biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah in the church in North America. Not so much, I feel tonight I'm preaching to the choir, and that's wonderful, but many of our missionaries, many of our church reps that travel throughout North America are finding it more and more and more difficult to get into churches, because churches are no longer caring about the truths about Israel and the truths of the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, which is Jesus. They're not even caring about the Old Testament. They're not caring about prophecy, they're just going with what's popular. And I know we could probably speak of churches even in Charlottetown that are falling, are going down that path, and so we find it more and more difficult. But we continue to speak those truths to anyone that will listen, and to also to convince others that are going down that path to recognize that is the biblical truth. And here's the truth as well. One of the things we have, we provide three biblical principles we hold true as we relate to Jewish ministry, to Jewish people. And the first one is, God is not done with the Jewish people, period. Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, good. I am preaching to the choir. That's good. All right? He is not done with the Jewish people. He has never unchosen them. As a result, they have a biblical, historical, legal, and moral right to the land of Israel as promised by God on the pages of Scripture. Now, if we posted that on Facebook or YouTube, we'd probably get pulled out, because in today's world, the fact that the Jewish people are, that the land, are the moral, historical, biblical right to the land of Israel is theirs, that is not a popular thing today in the world, and we know that. And so we stand with the Jewish people in solidarity. We stand with the nation of Israel politically as well. We know that politically in Israel, by the way, Israel is one of those places that you think that it's, because it's the Holy Land, it's the place that Jesus walked, it's a very special place. And it's a place that Jesus is coming back to and will reign for 1,000 years. That Israel's got to be a holy place. Israel's got to be, they're as corrupt and immoral and troubled in a society as we are in Canada and in North America. And it's a real interesting thing to be there and to see that, because you want it to be a holy place, and there are places, the Old City, that the Temple Mount, the Western Wall, walking where Jesus walked. It is a holy place, but not politically, not morally. not from a human perspective. But nonetheless, we still stand with the Jewish people. We stand with the nation of Israel because forever is forever. And whether it's Genesis 12 or Genesis 15 or 17 or Psalms 105 or Zechariah 12 or Ezekiel 36, and we could go on chapter after chapter, verse after verse, at least 27 times in the Old Testament, either the word forever or everlasting is connected to the covenant that God made to Abraham way back in Genesis 12. So forever means forever. And yet there's so much in the world, there's so many believers in the world, so many churches in the world that have said, oh, that's not what forever means anymore. Forever doesn't mean that anymore. The church has replaced Israel. And, you know, the church is the new redemptive story for the world. And yes, the church is the redemptive story for the world, and we thank the Lord, thank God for the church. But we're the ones grafted in to the overall story of what God has for us and what God has for the Jewish people. And there is coming a day, that land, there is coming a day where every Jewish person, they may have to go through the tribulation. They may suffer greatly. But there is coming a day when every Jewish person that is alive on this earth will bow their knee to the coming King, will bow their knee to their Savior. The church will be out of here, but the Jewish people, the tribulation is all about the Jewish people. It's all about the Jewish people. The church is gone, and the time of the Jews returns into the millennium. And so it is forever. And I love Jeremiah 31. And if you have your Bibles, I'll just refer to that very quickly. Jeremiah 31. It's kind of, I call it the summary statement of the fact that God is not done with his chosen people, period. That the forever means forever. I like this as the summary statement. And beginning at verse 35 of Jeremiah 31, it says, "Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel also will cease from being a nation before me forever." And we'll pause there. Look at that. It says at verse 35, "Who gives the sun for light by day and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea." You guys are close by the sea so that its waves roar. Does the sun rise every morning and sets every night? And the moon rises every night and sets every morning? And has it always done that, and will it always continue to do that until the end of time? The answer is yes. And here we have in this, if that ceased to exist, then I also, the Lord says, will stop making Israel, my people, Israel will no longer be a nation. And I love that, because every morning that the sun rises, we can be reminded that God still has chosen his people, that the land of Israel is still his and will remain his. But it goes on. It says, "Thus says the Lord," verse 37, "If the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord." Again, we've got this new satellite telescope that's, some of you may have seen the pictures just recently. They've just come out in the last few days that are absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. I forgot the name of the satellite that's just bringing back extraordinary images of the universe. But scientists have proven very, very clearly the universe cannot be measured. It cannot be measured. Count the stars. They can't be counted. They continue to find more and more galaxies. The universe, they say, is growing at a pace so rapidly that it is immeasurable. And here the Lord says, if the heavens can be measured, then I'm done with Israel. Well, we know it can't. Also says, in the foundations of the earth searched out below. How close are we to the core of the earth? We're not anywhere close to the core of the earth and discovering we can't even get to the bottom of the ocean. And then the core is still another several miles below that. And here the Lord says, if you can search the foundations of the earth below, then I also will cease. Israel will also cease. And I love these verses in Jeremiah 31 because to me it just brings it all together. The sun rises, the moon rises, the universe cannot be measured. The earth will never get to the depths of the earth. And so therefore, God will never, ever forget his people. And I just love that. And again, verse after verse after verse that we can look at in Scripture. But again, that is who we are. That is a key part of who we are. The Jewish people are God's chosen people, period. But number two and number three, again, as evangelical Christians, we believe... What did I just do? What did I just do? I did something. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That was me. Oh. That looks even worse. Help me. Oh, yes. Whew. Press enough buttons, things happen. As evangelical Christians, we oppose anti-Semitism in all of its forms. And we believe anti-Semitism is satanic in origin. Since Genesis 3, since the fall of man, in fact, and especially since Genesis 12, Satan is out to destroy the Jewish people. Satan is out to destroy the seed of Genesis 3:15, because he knew the Savior of the world was coming from the Jewish people. So the whole Old Testament, a good chunk of the Old Testament, is Satan out to destroy. And he came close, right? He came really close a lot of times. The story of Esther, the story of Moses, over and over and over again, he came so close to destroying. And then after Jesus came, he's out to destroy, continues out to destroy. And there has been more and more attempts to create that destruction of the Jewish people. Because even after Jesus came, even after he lost that battle, because Jesus is our victor, Jesus is our victory, and he lost that battle, he's still fighting the war. He's still fighting that war because he just does not appreciate, he is, because they're God's chosen people, and everything that is God's, he is against. And so anti-Semitism in all of its forms is satanic in origin. And again, I believe that's in the church today. Not necessarily this church, praise the Lord. But in the church today, the idea of replacement theology, the idea that the popular idea, that the political popular idea that, modern Israel is not important, that prophecy is not important. All those are subtle anti-Semitism, anti-Zionism. You can't be an anti-Zionist and not an anti-Semite at the same time. They're one and the same. And Satan's out there to destroy that. And so we need to stand, and we continue to stand. And then, of course, we believe that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel and Savior, and we speak that truth to anybody who comes within our sphere. So again, that's the gospel ministry part of us. To the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. And we've got workers all around the world that are in malls, that are at church conferences, and are at music festivals, and are on the street corners, and are in Jewish community centers, and are speaking the truths about Jesus and the Messiah, and bringing many people to faith. And this is the video I hope works. And it doesn't look like it's going to work. I don't know why. I don't know why. Is there a reason why? It shouldn't even look like that. And I can't even go on. I'm pressing the forward button and I can't even go on. Oh! Well, I got something there. If I don't get the videos, you know, that's fine. I could talk through it, but let's give it 1 minute and see if we can. And well, is that interfering with it?
I'm going to try something different.
Oh, HDMI, you got a converter. I could get out of it.
You want to switch him to second input?
Do you want me to end the slideshow? I can end it and start over. Would it be good?
Okay, so now we've got. Okay, so go to your video.
I tell you what, let's do this. Now that we're doing that, let's go back to slideshow. And one more time. But no audio. No audio. Should be.
What
now
do I have to do for audio on that?
Oh,
that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that, folks.
And it was at this point things went.
Oh, there we go. I'll start it over. I heard it. Okay. Oh, that's what we were talking about before.
The 1930s were a fragile time. Propaganda throughout Europe was already paving the way and dehumanizing the Jewish people. And in November 1938, Kristallnacht, Night of the Broken Glass, happened in Germany. Synagogues, homes, schools, and businesses of Jewish people were destroyed. And it was at this point things went from bad to worse. The Jewish people were ripped from their homes, put into ghettos, and sent to concentration camps where later, more than 6 million would be systematically murdered. Here in the United States, a group of Christians in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania had been praying for the Jewish people in Europe and were convinced they had to do more. In James chapter 1 it says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." And that is what this group did. Something was stirred inside of them. And the Friends of Israel Refugee Relief Committee was born. And they started to put their time and money into saving Jewish lives. But why would they do this? Because they knew from Scripture that the Jewish people are God's chosen and the apple of His eye. After all these years, the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry's mission has not changed, and the gospel is at the core of everything we do. Around the globe, our teams are serving Jewish people in need, providing food, medicine, clothing, personal care, and other basic necessities. Our free clinic in the heavily Jewish-populated area of Buenos Aires, Argentina, provides around-the-clock medical care for those in need. Bible camps in Poland and Israel for both children and adults give a safe place for learning God's Word. We support pastors and believers in Israel both spiritually and financially. Teams travel year-round to areas of Eastern Europe, providing daily necessities to Jewish people in oppressed areas. In Australia and New Zealand, we're opening our homes to traveling Israeli soldiers. Our workers around the world are serving the Jewish people in practical ways by volunteering in area Holocaust museums, Jewish community centers, and caring for Holocaust survivors and their families. Our Bible teachers share in churches and conferences that there is and always has been a clear plan, a past, present, and future for Israel and the Jewish people. Resources like Israel My Glory magazine, videos, books, and the Friends of Israel Today radio program are shared around the world, providing teaching on sound doctrine and a biblical perspective on current events surrounding Israel. The Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry loves bridging the Jewish community and Christians together. With anti-Semitism on the rise, we need advocates in the Christian community to stand with the Jewish people. Our tours to the Holy Land allow Christians to walk where Jesus walked and experience the miracle of modern-day Israel. Our volunteer trips, Origins, and Ased provide Christians a chance to serve alongside Israelis. These trips open Christians' eyes to the realities of daily life in Israel, but more importantly, it gives them a heart for the Israeli people. Our mission has stayed focused all of these years to teach biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah while loving and standing with the Jewish people. We believe God's promises to Israel are never ending, and the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry's message has not changed because the Word of God never changes. God has called us to reach the nations, and He has called us to love His chosen people, Israel. And just as our founders did in 1938, we stand with the Jewish people in their time of need, because we love what God loves.
We love what God loves. I love that last line. And as you see, as you heard on that video, this gives you a little bit of a rundown about, again, who we are, where we came from. You caught that date, 1938. And you caught the name of our organization in 1938, the Friends of Israel Refugee and Relief Committee. We're going to come back to that in a couple of minutes. I want you to think, what's the importance between the name and the date? And I'll come back to that in a couple of minutes, and I got prizes for those that have the answer, the right answer. But as I say, we serve. You saw that the fact that we serve and internationally, in medical clinics and Holocaust survivor care and Ukraine relief, Aliyah, Meet at the Mountain, internationally. One of the things that's important, yes, we do work, as you see, in Israel as well, but there are 15 million Jewish people around the world. Just over half of them are in Israel, and we are ministering to where the Jewish people are around the world, not just in Israel. We're not just an Israel-focused organization. We focus on where the Jewish people are in North America, in Ukraine, in Germany, in France, in England, in Australia, New Zealand. And we believe that we have a worker where approximately 90 to 95% of the Jewish people are actively living. And we're doing our best to serve and connect with them. And I want to introduce you to just this is the Espinozas. You saw in the video about the clinic in Buenos Aires. And this is just a very quick greeting from them.
Hello, greetings from Argentina. We want to say thank you and express our gratitude for your prayers and for your support to this ministry in this part of the world. So thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you.
Bye.
Amen. So again, that's the Espinozas. Those three, that's a mom and a dad and the son, they're all medical doctors, but between them, they've got seven medical specialties between them. And they've been serving with Friends of Israel. The mom and dad have been serving for Friends of Israel for over 30 years. The son Juan has been serving us for about 20 years. And they just continue to work tirelessly in Buenos Aires, Argentina. But as well, that is a picture. That's Jim Showers and Tom Gagan standing in front of, anybody know what that is? Pardon?
It's a shelter.
It's what kind of shelter?
A bomb
shelter, that's right. A bomb shelter in Israel. And over the last 12 years, we've been able to purchase about three dozen bomb shelters in and around the land closest to the Gaza Strip, many Jewish people, they have less than 12 seconds to find shelter when they hear the sirens, actually it's getting even faster. So in some places, as the missiles are getting faster and faster, some of them are under 10 seconds now, where they have to find shelter. Yes, the Iron Dome works, praise the Lord. and about 90% of the missiles that come into Israel are intercepted by the Iron Dome. But that leaves 10% that still fall in places, and so they need to find their shelter. And so we help in shelters, and as well that there, that's Menno Kalischer. How many were, I know back, I can't even remember, I think it was 2012 or 2010, somewhere in there. And it was here in Charlottetown. I don't think Menno was here, but Zvi was here. Was Menno here as well? Menno was here, and Zvi was here, and Steve Herzig was here. And you guys had, like, I mean, it was massive. I was not working with Friends of Israel at the time, but it's still talked about. It's still talked about as one of the largest conferences that Friends of Israel has ever had anywhere. So you guys are holding the record, which is absolutely wonderful. And that's a picture of Menno there preaching at Jerusalem Assembly at the church that his father Zvi founded. And again, we work there as well. And then again, this is, and I won't show the video because it's a little long, but there is, to the left is Timothy Rabinick, the one in the green, and the taller guy is Andrew, he's an intern. And this is a picture outside of Warsaw, Poland. And this is a little video. It's a little lengthy, so I won't show it tonight. But it's a video that just describes what is happening right now in Ukraine. As we tirelessly, we've got six workers between Ukraine and Poland. Timothy and Andrew are two of them. And when the war broke out, we just started tirelessly bringing Jewish families out of Ukraine, bringing them to Poland, and then doing the proper paperwork so that they could make Aliyah to Israel, which is immigrating to Israel, where they can, as they land, they become Israeli citizens and are free from the tyranny and the issues of war. And they have worked tirelessly, and up to date, they have helped well over 500 families, 500 Jewish families, make Aliyah. And here's how it comes together with the friend. That's the Friends of Israel part. But the gospel ministry part is this. Because we are helping these Jewish families, inevitably, many of them start asking, why would you do this? Why are you helping us? And again, that opens the door for our workers to begin to share the truths and the love of Messiah Jesus. And we do it gently. We do it understanding that most will reject. But because we're reaching down and we're building relationships and we're building connections and we're helping and we're friends with them, they listen. And Timothy just reported in an email to the staff a couple of weeks ago that of the 500 that they have helped leave Ukraine and come to Israel, 17 have made professions of faith to their Messiah Jesus. Now, 500 to 17, to some of you, that may not be a big number. That is a huge number in Jewish ministry, an absolute massive number. It wasn't too many years ago that we are thrilled when we hear of one Jewish person come to faith in our ministry all around the world. And here, since the war broke out in Ukraine, we know of at least 17. And who knows how many more thought about it and then came to Israel and found somebody else, and somebody else talked about it. And because the seed was sown by our people out of Ukraine or Poland, have also come to faith in their Messiah. So we're just so thankful for that. And some of you may have even helped in the support of that, and I want to thank you for that. And it takes us all the way back to our roots of 1938, where you saw in the video that we helped, that we gathered together this refugee committee because of Kristallnacht. And here we are 85 years later, almost in the same region, doing the same thing yet again. And the other thing that excites us about it is we help these Jewish people make Aliyah to Israel. That is fulfilling prophecy. That is fulfilling prophecy. Anybody know, it's a Hebrew word, anybody know what Aliyah, actually the definition or the translation for Aliyah is? All right. I had a prize for that one. Anybody want to give it a stab? All right. It means come up. It means come up. A lot of people think it means come here or come to me or go or whatever. And it actually is the name that the Israeli government uses for their immigration program, the Aliyah program. And they, and it, the word is come up. And they use that because all the way back from the beginning of the law of Moses, right? There was the they had to there's the Passover, Yom Kippur, that they there was three times a year that everybody had to come up to Jerusalem for the high holy feasts. And they that's where Jerusalem was packed full of people, at least three of the seven festivals. They had to be come up to Jerusalem. And if you've been to Israel, how many have been to Israel? By the way, we're going in November. I've got a couple of brochures. It's not too late to sign up. Talk to me afterwards. It's awesome. But you come up to Jerusalem. But when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, the rabbis had to come up with a different plan. And so there's a lot of different things that they do over the last 2,000 years. But anybody know what a Jewish family will say at the end of their Seder, at the end of the Passover meal? There's a statement. There's a line that they, that at the very end, as it's all concluding, either the father or the father will choose somebody in the family, or they'll say it together as a whole group. Anybody know what they say? It says, next year in Jerusalem. The hope that they have, the Jewish people all around the world, next year in Jerusalem. And so the idea of Aliyah, the idea of coming up to Jerusalem, the Israeli government is using that as come on home, gather the people, gather and come on home. What they don't realize, the Israeli government doesn't realize, is that's fulfilling prophecy. Whether it's in Ezekiel or Jeremiah and at least seven different prophecies in the Old Testament that it talks about gathering my people home from the four corners, from the ends of the earth. That's not the Babylonian exile. That is still to come. And they're coming home, people. They're coming home. And as they come home, there's coming a day, perhaps it's today, where we go up. Amen? And God the Father has a number in mind. He has a number in mind. I don't know what the number is. So say there's 15 million Jewish people in the world today, whether it's 12,467,672nd person that ends up in Israel. I don't know what the number is, but there's a certain number where he says, enough has been gathered. Let's get going. Let's call the church home and let's get going. So we're excited about that, and to be a part of that is very exciting. So again, we serve worldwide, and you see in the dark blue, as I've already mentioned, some of the those are the countries that we serve, we actually have served. But then as well, we teach. Our teaching has changed dramatically over the last couple of years. We have, again, you remember fondly, many of you were fondly, the conference that was here many years ago, and we still stand with conferences and meeting in churches and doing Bible studies in that in-person, connection. And also in print with Israel My Glory and books and the DVD resources. And you see there the picture of the first issue of Israel My Glory in December 1942. And it was this verse, Isaiah 46:13, that our founders used for the title of the magazine. I bring my righteousness near, it shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel My Glory. Now, this is where I want to pause. And I said, remember 1938, and the title of our, and we named ourselves the Friends of Israel Refugee and Relief Committee. Now it's 1942, and we called our magazine Israel My Glory in December of 1942. What's the significance, and there's a theological significance, between the years and the name? I have prizes, so think. Again, I'll emphasize a certain word that's in both the titles. The Friends of Israel, Refugee and Relief Committee, 1938. Israel, My Glory, 1942. How well's your history?
Forming of Israel as a country.
When did that happen? No, it did not happen in 1942, but you're close. You're getting close. When did modern Israel become a nation again? Anybody know the exact date? That's where the prize comes in. Off by one day, but that's close enough. May 14th. You get either a book or a calendar. I know it's July, but I was told to get rid of the calendar. So which one do you want? Oh, who said that? You said that? I thought it was you. Oh, well, okay. No. Which one would you like?
I'll take the book.
Okay, excellent. All right. May 14th, 1948 is when Israel became a nation. Again, fulfilling prophecy, and we're excited about that. But what's amazing, again, 1938, our forefathers committed to calling ourselves the Friends of Israel, 10 years before Israel became a nation. They had no idea. Now, there were rumblings, the Balfour Declaration was out there, there was a lot of talk about the fact that there needed to be a place for the Jewish people, but they had no idea. First of all, they had no idea whether it was even going to be called Israel, and yet they believed in their theological conviction that God is not done with the Jewish people. They called themselves Friends of Israel. And then our magazine, Israel My Glory, in 1942, they continued to use that. And that, again, and that remains true to this day. And this is the very first, on page 2 of volume 1, number 1, of the Israel My Glory of 1942. And this is true then as it is true today. Says this: we are naming this periodical Israel My Glory to call attention to the fact that God is not through with the Jewish people. He has promised that one day he will endow Israel with spiritual power and zeal and use this nation as the powerful preachers when Christ comes to earth to establish his kingdom. For 1900 years, the Jews have as a nation rejected Christ as their Messiah. One day they will accept him. It is difficult, therefore, for us, remembering their past history, to believe that God should ever call them his glory. But this he has done, and in naming our quarterly Israel My Glory, we desire to remind ourselves of God's irrevocable promises to Israel and of his benevolent purpose in choosing them to be the human channel through which Christ should come, and the channel also a future blessing to the world. And as I say, that is true in 1942 and is true all the way up to 2022. And usually when I do this presentation, when I've done this presentation in the past, I say, you know what? That is true all the way up to today. So true that, you know, we could put this in a current Israel My Glory magazine. And I've been saying that for a couple of years, the last 2 or 3 years, as I share this quote to show that our theological conviction has never changed. And sure enough, if you get, how many get the magazine Israel My Glory? All right, recognize this cover? This is the May-June issue, just out a couple of months ago. And on page 14, it blew me away when I got this in the mail, and I looked up on page 14, May-June, that exact same quote is here in the May-June issue of 2022 of Israel My Glory. And so now I can actually say it's true then as it is today. And we continue. By the way, you'll all get to get goodie bags as you leave here tonight. And we have enough for everybody. If you're interested, inside is a magazine. Might not be this one. It might be a different one. And a couple of other things in there, a pen and other things that just talk about the ministry a little bit. As well, we have a sign-up sheet there just at the table at the exit of the sanctuary. Should you want a copy of Israel My Glory, we offer it free for a year. It's very expensive after that, though, folks. Very expensive as a magazine. I don't know if you can afford it. It's $26 a year, which is, obviously, it's not expensive. But you get it free for a year, and I just highly recommend it. Talk to anybody that receives the magazine. It is well worth it. in a wide variety of ways. Biblical teaching in it is just superb. And then you see the impact of us worldwide with the Israel My Glory magazine and a whole lot more dark blue. 75,000 copies of Israel My Glory goes around the world every 2 months. But again, we teach digitally, and this is where, again, the word that I'm not supposed to say tonight, that happened in March of 2020 and continues to filter through the world today and filter through our society. But we ended up having to go very digital, like many, many churches. All of us had to learn a lot of digital teaching and what to get the word out. We were way behind in the digital world. We had counted on our conferences and on our resources and our magazines. We had counted on that in-person connection, probably a little too much. When the world shut down, we needed to get the truth out. And so we have, in the last 2 years, ramped up significantly our digital footprint. And you can see, even in Canada, our YouTube page is very active, and Facebook, and there's so much teaching. Just go to Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry Canada on YouTube, and everything that we do, many conferences that we might even do in person, we'll record them and put them on our YouTube channel, all for free, and a full access. And we're developing a digital media outreach here in Canada as well. But I want to take a minute and talk about something that is near dear to my heart and very, very new to us as Friends of Israel. It's called FOI Equip. Has anybody here have been on an FOI Equip teaching? No, I didn't think so, because it's so new. We started this back in about October of 2021. And I just want to highly recommend it. As you see, it's a free resource for learning and engaging with the scriptures from a Jewish perspective. It's simply, it's a Zoom class. And it's every Thursday night, but if you miss it, you can just go to foiequip.com, and all the classes are archived, and you can get them for free. And here's some examples of classes that we've gone through. They're usually 2 weeks to no more than 5 weeks in length. And they're fun. They're interactive. And here's the deal. You can go to school, and there's no homework. There is no homework. We don't ask. There's no assignments to write. There's nothing. You just tune in, listen, learn, maybe ask a question or two by chat or even live. But other than that, you just learn. And as you see, some of the topics that we have covered coming up in just a couple of weeks. Just it's not just about Bible teaching as well. It's also about Jewish customs. In a couple of weeks, we're doing a cooking class. It's actually like we're designing it so that it's like on TV, all the cooking classes, Iron Chef, and all that kind of stuff. We have one of our representatives out of the States. She actually is a chef, and she's done a lot of Jewish cooking. So she's going to open up her kitchen to the camera. She's got recipes all ready to go, and she's going to teach us five or six. And she's actually created a recipe book that if you register for the class, you can get a PDF copy of the recipe book of Jewish food, and so it's a wide variety of topics, and we're just so thrilled to offer that, and it just keeps going. And simply foiequip.com is all you need to do to get all the information you need. And included in that, I want to recommend as well, if you're and we do have a lot of young people here, and maybe even some of the older people know how to do podcasts. And I want to recommend this podcast called the Jew and Gentile Podcast. You may recognize it's a little small there on the screen, but you'll recognize Steve Herzig there. And of course, he's the Jew, and beside him is Chris Katulka, who's our radio voice and does a lot of teaching and is the assistant North American director. They're best friends, and it shows. When they're together doing this podcast, they literally just sit across the desk from each other, and they just chat Jewish, chat the Bible, chat what's going on in the world, and it's extraordinarily insightful. Again, FOIequip.com will give you all the information, all the past archived podcasts on that. But again, if you've got a podcast app, just look for the Jew and Gentile podcast, and you can find it there and catch up that way as well. And of course, then we connect. And one of the things I want to just talk about for just a minute is a Canada prayer gathering. Again, this thing that happened in March of 2020, that the word that I can't say, that most of us don't want to say, all right, it shut me down as well. And again, my job is to crisscross the country, connect with churches, connect with our supporters, to just be in their homes, to pray with them, to encourage them, to thank them, to build up the ministry, to build them up. And I love it. It's absolutely wonderful. And I get to see many places of the country, all from coast to coast. But of course, I got shut down for many months through 2020 and into 2021. And so out of that, early on in March, April of 2020, I said, I need to connect with my people. I remember thinking that. And so we began what was called, what was at that point, every night of the week, we had a prayer night, a regional prayer night. Started in Atlantic Canada on Monday, and then Tuesday was Ontario, and then Wednesday was Manitoba. So we followed kind of the time zones across the country. And it was 7 o'clock local time, which meant Friday night, I'm up at 10 o'clock, because I live in Ontario, I'm up at 10 o'clock doing prayer with people in BC at 7 o'clock. Anyways, over time, it developed where now we meet Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern time, so it's 9 o'clock for you guys. And it is a rich, rich time of prayer, an absolute rich. We pray for Israel, we pray for Friends of Israel, gospel ministry in Canada and around the world, and then we pray for each other. And I got to say, in a lot of ways, it's more church than going to church on a Sunday morning. There is a richness, and there is a coming together of people from coast to coast. Many times I'll get a call or an email from somebody who participates in this. Can I get the phone number or the address of so-and-so who's also on the call so that we can interact? And there have been so many friendships and relationships that have connected. But it's all centered on prayer. And God has done some amazing work in Canada because of this prayer gathering, because God is answering prayer. We have seen people saved. We've seen family members saved. We've seen young children on the verge of death have come and been revived and are healthy again. We've just seen amazing things happen. And we're so excited about it. And simply, if you want to be a part of a very dynamic prayer meeting, you simply have to give me your email address and you're invited. I send a Zoom reminder every Tuesday. So you just have to click on that Zoom link and appear Tuesday at 9 o'clock. And I'd love to see you and you be a part of that. And again, my card is in the bags, so my email is in there as well. So I leave that with you to consider. And then as well, ministry launch. And I just want to spend a minute with this, that not only do we have FOI Equip, but if after FOI Equip, and we've got some young people here, and we are always looking, as I mentioned as well, we're looking, constantly looking for new reps. And so, you know, if you're interested, we have an internship program. We have a Bridges program, an Encounter program, that just largely for young people, but for any age, that if you are interested if you've got even a hint of interest in what's it mean to get involved in a Jewish ministry, talk to me. And we can get you hooked up with Bridges and Encounter. What Encounter is, it's a week-long program where you get to go to New York. And the areas around New York, and you just hang out with Jewish people. There's a million Jewish people in New York City, and so you just hang out with them, go to a synagogue, and it's just, we're trying to create one in Canada. We just don't know, we haven't developed it yet, but the one in New York is happening, and it's a marvelous thing to do in that respect. So I just want to encourage you in that. And if you want a short-term missions trip, there's either Origins or Hesed, where you go to Israel for 2 or 3 weeks. Origins is for those under the age of 30, and Hesed is for those of us over 30. And you serve in different places, arm in arm, shoulder with shoulder with Jewish people, just doing the work, and it's marvelous that way. And then in Canada, again, I just want to just very quickly, that's our Canadian director, Rob and Barb Gottslick. They live in Regina, Saskatchewan. And then Larry and Eleanor Mitchell, who lives in Calgary, Alberta. And then again, there's John and Irene, and you may recognize John. In fact, that last picture with John at the trunk of the car, that's the day we left my home in Ottawa to come here 3 years ago. It was ready to go, and away we left. But again, places are missing. And you see these four pictures here that represent Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, and Ottawa. And there, we do not have workers. In fact, the update is we now just very recently, within the last few weeks, now have a worker in British Columbia and Vancouver, and we're thrilled for that. But as you can see here, 400,000 Jewish population in Canada, 200,000 live in Toronto, 90,000 live in Montreal, 27,000 live in Vancouver, 17,000 live in Ottawa, and the rest of the country is about 65,000. 83% of the Jewish population in Canada are in these four cities. And we now only have one worker in those four cities. We do not, currently now, after Mike and Debbie's retirement, we do not have a worker east of Manitoba. And so we're praying hard. And should the Holy Spirit stir in you any interest at all, please talk to me. I'm not the person that, but I can certainly get you in. I kind of become the starting point, and then I can lead you to where you need to have that conversation. But what we've done is we've started what's called this Mission Launch Initiative Fund, and what that is, because all our reps, all our missionaries have to raise their own support. We are a mission agency; they have to raise their own support. I think that's part of the reason why we don't have workers in those cities. If you look at the cost of living in those four cities, it's some of the most expensive cities in the country. And so we may have workers out of Manitoba that might be interested, but we can't afford to move them and bring them into Toronto because there's no way we could do that. We're looking for people that actually perhaps can do that, are willing to do that, or actually live in the area so that the cost of living becomes less of a burden for us. But we want people to consider help planting the seed to launch new FOI staff in Canada. And so we've started this mission launch program. And as you see there at the bottom of this slide, it says first year on us. And that's really the intent. As missionaries, as our reps get started, and they have to raise their own support, you know what it's like. You have many missionaries that come through here, I'm sure. And you love to hear the mission stories. You love to hear what they're doing. And it stirs your heart. And that stirring of heart sometimes stirs your purse strings, right? It's the way it works. But if you're a new missionary and you're just starting out and you come to a church like this, maybe not this church, but many churches, and you're just starting out and you don't have the stories, and you're saying, will you support me? Well, what are you doing? Well, I haven't started yet, but I need the support in order to get started. And it just becomes a difficult thing to get that pump primed. And so what we've started is this Mission Launch Fund where all of us in Canada can bless our new workers. We can also help our Canadian director help recruit and train. That's where the internship program comes in, where you can be a part of our internship program. We will pay our interns, our young interns, for 6 months or a year, and it's paid for through this Mission Launch program. And so we are just asking to consider supporting the Mission Launch program. so that we can find these workers. And when we do find them, again, that first year is on us. Again, that's a little bit of a colloquialism. You know, they continue to have to raise their own support, and they do. But again, if we can get that first year going, then when they come back to that church, they could say, this is what I did this past year. And those heartstrings connect to those purse strings evermore. And so I thank you for that, for even considering that. And I want to encourage you to that. And I want to leave you with one last video. And I may have showed this when I was here in 2019. I can't remember when I added this to my presentation. but it's good to listen to again. I've listened to it hundreds of times. It's a song called Zion by Aaron Schust. And as you listen to it, I call this the unofficial theme song of Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. And the reason why I say unofficial is because I don't think Aaron knows I play it. All right? But I got it off YouTube, so I think I'm safe. I don't think I'm breaking any copyright laws because it's on YouTube. If it's on YouTube, it's safe, right? I don't know, but I'm playing it anyways. I think he'd appreciate the fact that we're playing it. I hope he does anyways. But as you listen to this song, as we wrap up our evening, you will see on the screen, you will see scripture references. And I want to encourage you, if you're great, if you're very fast at writing down the scripture references, do it while you listen to the song. But if you get a little behind, go home, go on YouTube, check out Aaron Schust Zion and listen to the song and actually write down those scripture references and work through those scriptures. It will be a fantastic Bible study, a fantastic time of, again, many of the things that I've already shared that God has not done with his people, and he's gathering them home. So as we wrap up tonight, just enjoy this song.
O daughters of Zion, O Abraham's sons, hear the words of your father, hear his promise of love. I will make you a blessing, so count the stars if you can. You will be a great nation. I will give you this land. I will bring you back home. Take you away once I gather you under my wings. I will bring you all back home again. Though you've wandered like strangers to the ends of the earth, I will send you a savior. I will finish my work. You have no other shepherd. You have no other Lord. Green pastures are waiting in Zion once more. I will bring you back home. Children.
But don't fear, oh my daughters, or sons of Abraham. For I will wash you with water. I will offer the lamb. Though your sins were like scarlet, they'll be whiter than snow. I have always been with you. I will never let go.
Before I pray and end the evening, is there any questions, any comments, anything that maybe is a burning question that you want to share or ask? You can ask me afterwards as well. Yes?
How many Jewish people do we have in Prince Arnold?
Oh, wow. Good question. Not many. Is there a synagogue in Charlottetown? No? I apologize, knowing that I was coming. I could have found that answer. I will find that answer. You give me your information, I will get that answer, or I'll get it back to the church, because it is findable, and I should have done my research on that as it relates to Prince Edward Island, but I know not many. Well, there's not, the population of PEI is not many, right? What is the population of Prince Edward Island as a whole? What's that?
The latest is 167,000.
Are you sure you don't have 167,324? Like, I mean, that's a small number. I'm from Ontario. That's a very small number. But the town I live in is bigger than that. But anyway, so therefore, I don't know, but it would be small, especially if there's no synagogue in Charlottetown, then that's a very good indication that it's a very, very small population. Okay.
They do have a group of people that meet at the Confed Center. I don't still know the details of
okay.
this, but they have a memorial service.
Okay.
I know that they talked about the idea of a synagogue, but just meeting in a place somewhere. So
okay.
Oh,
excellent. Yeah, and it makes sense it's growing, again, with the change of the world, with the change of working from home and not having to go to the offices of the cities of Toronto and Ottawa and Montreal and things like that. And, there could be more and more of them coming to the island, which would be fantastic. That's great. Yes?
Sorry, but another question. All this influx of people coming home to Israel, how does it affect housing?
Well, Israel is a small country. It's actually not that much bigger than Prince Edward Island, actually, is an entire country. But there is a lot of room yet. Again, as they, even though Israel is a lot of desert, they can build settlements in the desert with the technology that they have and the abilities that they have. They can build settlements there, obviously. The Jewish settlements in the West Bank our political hot potato, but it's their land. And so they believe that they could continue to build in there. So far, again, have you been to Israel yourself? You know, when you think of 15 million Jewish people in the world now, again, there's about the population of Israel is right around 15 million, actually. And it's about 11 million. Sorry, I was getting mixed up in my numbers. And so about 7.5 to 8 million are Jewish and the rest are Arab. All right. So there is room. And there's even room for Arabs to be there as well. So they just build bigger apartment buildings if they have to, right? Anything else?
Just one last question. Have you seen a big influx? Have you know about a big influx of people coming out of the Ukraine situation back to? Because there's a lot of Jewish people in Ukraine, right?
Right.
A lot coming back.
Absolutely. Again, as you already heard, we've been directly connected to over 500 families making Aliyah, but as of it changes dramatically. But Israel opened their doors. Aliyah opened their doors when the war broke out in March and said, there's no limit to how many Jewish people can come out of Ukraine and come to Israel. There's about 360,000 Jewish people in Ukraine. And right now we know of about 55,000 of them that have made Aliyah to Israel. And that is just wonderful. One of the things that really talk about Aliyah again, is not just Ukraine, but one of the things because of I almost got through the night without saying the word. I didn't finish it though. I just got the first syllable in, so we'll just stop it there. What's been amazing is the number of New York Jews that are making Aliyah. And that is an extraordinary thing, actually. New York Jews are the most, they're the most content Jews in the world. They've got the world, it's awesome. I mean, they've built a very strong community. And the businesses and everything. I mean, there's a lot of wealth. There's a lot of contentment. There's a lot of just why would we go anywhere else? Why would we go to Israel? You know, we've got Israel here. You know, a New York Jewish person would say something like that. But in the last couple of years, because of I'll say the pandemic. Even though it's not, anyway, sorry, I'll be careful. But anyways, I won't use the word, but you know what I'm talking about, of the last couple of years. And not only that, the rise of anti-Semitism in and around New York has caused them to go, maybe it is better to go home. And so that's very, very exciting for us as well. All right, is there anything else? Okay. Yeah. It's an internal video. If you're interested, if you're willing to take the time, I can go. It's 7 minutes long. I can go back and I could show it here now. I could also, if you give me your email address, anybody that's interested, it's not on our website or anything. But it's free. I mean, we're not hiding it. I mean, we can absolutely share it. So we could do it that way. If you give me your address, your email address, then I could send it to you instead of, cause now I'm sure if everybody's interested in seeing it. If you're all interested in seeing it, I will show it. But, what do we want to do?
I'd say probably email.
Okay. I had a feeling that's where we were going, but, just talk to me afterwards on that. All right. Well, it has been a great privilege and a joy to be with you tonight. It's just wonderful. And we'll be around for more questions. My wife will be the one handing out the bags. And we do have some extra calendars here. I didn't ask as many questions. I usually ask more questions. And so if you do want a calendar, I'm not sure what you'll have to do to get one, but, you know, it's up to me to determine whether you get one or not. But I do have to get rid of them, so you don't have to do much if you want a calendar. And it's beautiful pictures of the waterways of Israel. So even if it's just for the pictures, it might be worth it. And believe me, I don't want to take anything back home, any of the calendars home. So that'd be great. Let's pray as we wrap up. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this marvelous assembly, Father, that is just in love of your word and in love of your people and in love with each other, Lord Jesus, and in love with you. And Lord, I pray a blessing on this chapel, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to strengthen it, that you will continue to be at the center of everything that they do. Father, I pray, Lord, as they share the good news to their friends and their neighbors and their coworkers and to the community at large, Father, that many will come to faith because of the work of this chapel and the people. But Lord, we also pray for Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. We pray for the work around the world. We pray for people like Menno in Israel who just works tirelessly. We pray for our workers in Ukraine and Poland that continue to just not take any time off. It seems like they're working 24/7. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you continue to strengthen them. We thank you for the good news that Jewish people are coming to faith in the Messiah Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. We thank you how we are a part of that, and we thank you. And Father, I pray that you will continue to expand the ministry. Father, that maybe there's a young person or maybe even an older person in this room tonight that will just, you know what, I want to learn more about what it means to work within a Jewish ministry, Lord. And Father, I pray that you will stir in the hearts of all of us, Lord, to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, continue to pray for the Jewish ministries around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.